our best.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Well, Tom, traffic is backed up today, and the weather is also bad. I'm doing radio-style updates because we're talking about FM radio.
I like when the weather guy on the radio goes, the weather is bad.
Traffic is backed that ass up.
Oh, my God. Wait, I have a good Sean Flannery is back on the show.
Sean,
thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. Love the show and love both of you. So honored to be back.
Man. You're the king.
Feeling is mutual. Top plug for his book, Places I Can't Return To. I think I nailed that.
You got it, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, so what I want to say is I was listening to the radio yesterday, come to think of it, and I heard an all-time New York radio commercial where it was a life insurance commercial, and it started out, "Do you have diabetes or are you just Porky?"
Porky. Also, like, what is the follow-up here? Is this...
It was like, we'll still give you life insurance even if you are Porky.
Those are the two, what do you call those? What the hell do you call those?
Pre-existing conditions.
Pre-existing conditions, diabetes or Porky.
Damn, that is fucked up. That is a great FM radio story from Tommy. Thank you for that. And we are talking about FM radio today. Did somebody say this last week? I'm in a weird fever dream. I've got some sort of weird. I've got like a bug or something, a cold. I don't know. So I'm on a bunch of cough medicine. So I might be kooky this week. We'll see. But did someone say that Everclear is going to be pissed that we did this episode?
Because of AM radio?
Yeah. Maybe I dreamt that.
I think it's just a good joke.
Maybe I just dreamt a gem of a joke, but I feel like somebody tweeted it or something at us. But we didn't talk about doing this episode before today, so I don't know, with the listeners, so I don't know. But Sean, how are you? What's new in your neck of the woods?
Nothing much. I'm doing great. We talked about doing FM radio today, which I love, which is a great day for me to do it because I'm actually in the office in Chicago drinking with coworkers.
Ooh, and old school,
you know, listening to FM radio happy hour days here. Chicago happy hour, by the way, is amazing. Just real quickly, just to give you a lay of the land, because I know you guys are former Chicagoans that have now moved down to the other. So I work downtown. The Jewel by me, the grocery store, is a fancy grocery store in Chicago that has a bar inside of it. So you can get poured like a pint of beer and you can do your grocery shopping.
Oh, I love that.
And
you can grocery shop while you're
correct. Like, you can have an open container.
I didn't know that.
You can have an IPA while you grocery shop.
That rules.
Not only does that rule, but I saw such a Chicago exchange the other day where I walk in and this dude is yelling at the manager, but I can't hear what he's making out. But as I get closer, I hear the manager's response, and she says, "I'm sorry, sir. But due to post-COVID labor shortages, we can't open up our bar until 10 a.m. And he looks her right in the eye and he goes, "This is why everyone is leaving this fucking city."
That is incredible. That is fucking incredible. Because that is not a thing that exists in most cities.
Exactly. And he's like, "I'm ready to leave Chicago. If you can't give me an open container at 9 a.m. on a Wednesday, I'm done with you."
That is so fucking good. That is a beautiful... That is a Bukowski. That is beautiful.
Chicago's the best. It's the best. Yeah.
It is so sick that... And maybe it's a problem... that you can drink at the grocery store. I do remember a time in my life, there was a open mic that I would go to that had super expensive beers. but there was a Whole Foods right down the street with a bar, and so sometimes I would sign up
go
and
there,
just go
yeah.
drink at that Whole Foods.
Yeah, why not?
That was a dark time in my life. that was when I think that was Weeds open mic or whatever. But speaking of plugs and speaking of Chicago, I will be in Chicago this very weekend. That's why I'm on all these cough meds. I'm hoping to feel better by the time I fly out tomorrow. But I'll be at High Dive tomorrow night, Thursday, and then I'll be at CG's Comedy Club in the I don't know what part of Illinois.
Oh, that's like
30
like,
minutes from the airport.
It's funny because nobody knows the suburbs. It's like Oak Brook or Broke yeah. Book or Boiling yeah, Brook it's or it's some mountain. Brook with a yeah, but it's somewhere out there. Yeah,
yeah. So I have to catch a train to meet the owner of the place because he said he doesn't go to Chicago. So I got to go get a ride.
High Dive's a great show, though. I'll come see you at High Dive. That'll be fun.
Come hang at High Dive. We're going to get nuts. I'm going to go to a Cubs game on Sunday. I have quite the week planned. Very excited. I'll be in New York in a couple weeks. Going to go to a Yankees game, too. I'm going to see all the sights. But enough of my bullshit. Let's talk about this. You brought up some interesting ideas, some subject matter for us to talk about in your pitch for this. Because living in LA now, I have to drive way more, and I do find myself just searching radio stations a little more. And you brought up a point. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago when we talked about grocery store music, where it's music that you hear that you only hear when you're listening to this, like when you're not choosing what you're listening to. And I like that idea for FM radio. Like what are some songs that you hear quite often or that are a part of your life, but that you will only ever hear in FM radio?
I mean, I think, I don't know if you guys are like me, like I'm a little bit older than you guys. So I grew up on FM radio. And there was no internet and whatnot.
Sure.
And there's certain bands where, like, a song called, like, Radar Love by Golden Earring.
Yeah.
You only hear it on FM radio. Like, no one goes on to Spotify and they're like, I want to hear Golden Earring, Radar Love. You know? And
let's hear some of that real fast. We love it. You might not be able to hear Sean. The people at home will be.
But it's hilarious. And but what's also funny, it's a song that's only written for consuming in a car on FM radio, right? You know, like you would never listen. It's like Sammy Hagar, he got Van Halen off the song I Can't Drive 55, which you would never listen to. On any kind of like on-demand platform. You would never like, I want to get on the internet and I want to hear solo Sammy Hagar, I Can't Drive 55. Like that would just never happen. But what I love about FM radio is somehow it's just thrown upon you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a time in my life where I was working at a restaurant that would play 97.9 The Loop, the Chicago classic rock station, just all day. It was just playing. And every time, I've talked about it on the show before when we did our Toto episode, but I hate that song, Love Isn't Always On Time, so much. Because
I
play it at least once a day. I would like walk, I would physically walk outside because I was like, that's the only way I can escape hearing this.
You guys, so I would work day jobs and I would get so many, because this is what people don't realize, FM radio lorded the airwaves. That's all you could listen to. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like today where you could create your own playlist and you could like we were all listening to the same thing, which sometimes would beat us in the head that we were so tired of it.
Yeah.
What's your band, Tommy and Tom, that you just – if you had heard them under different – like my band is ZZ Top. I fucking hate them. Because of how much I heard them in Cleveland FM radio. But if I heard them under different circumstances, I might have liked them. But they were just so overplayed, I couldn't handle it. Like, what's your band that you're just like, I'm done with them. I can't handle another note by them AC/DC is my second band like that, where I'm like,
that was one that came to mind. Pick.
I can't.
I would have that with my stepdad if my stepdad hadn't forced AC/DC.
Exactly.
On me,
I'm the same way. I'm like, I'm so tired of hearing them. Like, I just. But I honestly, if I if I found them like somehow originally, I might have liked them. I don't know. Like, what's your band?
Oh, Tommy, do you have one? This is a really tough one for me.
Yeah, AC/DC I think is a good one because that was definitely something that I also used to know. It was funny because I had like a phase where I loved them when I was like 13, and then the second I was like 15,
same.
I was like, I can't hear this.
Exactly
guy's
the same.
Yeah.
There are a couple that that I have. I mean, there's the one that I have that I did get into, and this is. You know, lame as hell, but I've talked about this on the show before, so whatever. I hated Maroon 5 when they first came out. The very first single, I couldn't recognize the fire burning in her eyes.
This Love?
This Love is, This love has taken a toll on me. Why the fuck can't I think of the name of that song? I hated it with everything in me. And then when the second single came out, then I got into it. But I was hearing that song so much that I hated them. Kings of Leon is another one that... And the tricky part of this prompt is I don't know if I would like them if I hadn't heard them overplayed. But I that made me really hate them, is hearing Sex is on Fire all the fucking time.
Well, I also disliked Kings of Leon because I always hate it when you don't like a band and your friends are like, well, are you actually listening to them? And like your friends are being condescending that they don't think you're getting it all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, smart, like people who I trust their music takes on were telling me that I was stupid. And I was like, I just don't like
it. Yeah, does that matter though?
Yeah, that's a good point. It doesn't matter. What matters is what's in your little heart.
Your little heart. There were some songs I remember because I feel like by the time it was like I would very much change which radio station in Chicago I was listening to. But once I got really into more like alternative and indie stuff, when like a song I didn't like was on those stations, it would drive me crazy because I would be like, this is supposed to be for me, and it's pissing me off. And the one that came to mind was that song Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol. Remember that? That If I Lay Here,
that was a song that was right up my alley when it came out.
It like makes me physically tense up to picture the chorus of that song.
Did they have another hit? Because I remember the big thing with them was like they made this like very lame ass like lovey-dovey song, and then you found out they were like the craziest party animals that ever existed. Like they were psychos of a band, but then that song was their big hit. I'm gonna play a tiny piece of it for the listeners at home in case they forgot.
Threw my headphones off.
Yeah, that song does fucking suck. And, like, I loved it when it came out too. Yeah. It was right up. It was in the. It was in the same like, the same lane as that "Hanging by a Moment" song.
Lifehouse.
I still gotta find that video.
That's what I love about FM radio, though, is that a fraffarel of like where you're just like it only exists today. Like we all love it today, and then none of us will remember this tomorrow. You know, like it's a 24-hour memory of it. You know, like it's all like what I love about FM radio. It's all just like kind of one-hit wonders.
So yeah, I worked at a radio station for a summer, WFNX in Boston. And it was this alternative rock station that like a lot of people love, and I just had the bad luck of it happened to be the summer when it was all Mumford and Sons and Lumineers and all those bands that was alternative rock. The Clappers were alternative rock, so it was just like I thought it was gonna be so cool, and it was just Little Lion Man for 3 months. Like, I was like, this fucking sucks.
That is tough, man. I do think there's another level of this. There are the songs that you only hear on the radio that are good. Like that. This is kind of the other thing you mentioned is like that the crippling indecision of now that we can choose what we listen to all the time, there's kind of like, you know, it's overwhelming sometimes, all the choices you have. And so it's kind of nice sometimes to take your hands off the wheel and also drink and drive and no, let God run it. But it's kind of nice to not have to make a choice and have FM radio on and you just circle through. And there's some songs that will play on the radio that I love that I just never think to put on. Like Red Hot Chili Peppers for me is a perfect FM radio band where.
Oh, dude, I feel like half the time I start my car. They yeah. play. It's just like you're like Bluetooth hasn't synced up yet, and it's yeah. just what they're picking up. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It's weird how they know. It's perfect yeah. driving music. And I remember when I first got my first car, just driving around and hearing Switchfoot, and then hearing and then I heard a bunch of Red Hot Chili Peppers. I heard Third Eye Blind, and I heard Tom Petty a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, I like, this is cool. Like, I never think to put on Tom Petty, but I love Tom Petty. And then same with the, and then I got really into the Chili Peppers for a while because I was loving those. They would play so many singles from them. I was like, oh my God, the Red Hot Chili Peppers have so much music that I like. I should take a deeper dive. And then I got super into them, and then now I never listen to them, but. It's very good. It's good FM radio music.
Well, and I think there's something about, you know, it's interesting. I think there's something about the randomness of finding something that, like, the ether delivered to your car while you're driving. Yeah. It's like when I hear, like I Can't Get No Satisfaction from the Stones on my phone, when it's been played in the algorithm, I'm like, come on, I've heard this a billion times. But when I'm driving in traffic on the Kennedy in Chicago and it comes in on a radio station, I'm like, this is the greatest moment of my life. It's almost like when you when you hunt for food, it tastes better. There's something about like when the radio waves deliver it to you, like there's something about the sun in your face. It just feels better. The random. That it seems random.
I also like the element because with – you're right. Because Spotify could do the same thing to me. I could let it run and it could mm-hmm. find a song that I like. And I would just go, oh, it knows me.
Yes.
There's something about the fact that the radio doesn't know you at all. And that other people, like the person in the car next to you, might be hearing the same thing. And you're like, oh, shit.
I think a lot of – I think you hit the nail on the head right there. It's the communal aspect, which I think we've gotten rid of. Like, I remember, like, we used to have, like, these things in Cleveland where, like, you know, all the FM radio stars were coked up, drunk, like wannabe rock stars. And they would, like, sometimes go missing for 24 hours. And, like, you would just hear, like, 98.5 be like, again, guys, we're looking for Hot Rod Red. We haven't found him in 48 hours. And if you see him, like, and everyone in town would be like, we're looking for Hot Rod Red. You know, like, but it was this communal effort, you know, like, where we all felt together, you know?
That's incredible. Oh, my God. So he would call in to request a song or find our buddy. Oh man, yeah. I wanted to. We do want to pimp out because you have a great story in your book that is radio based. That if you don't mind telling, I feel like the listeners would get a real kick out of.
Oh, that's a funny FM radio story where I used to work in help desk. So I work in computers now. I'm actually calling in from my current day job, and I now work in network security software, and this is like my first ever job, level one help desk. And if I can just give you guys, if you can just indulge me for a moment, just a little like help desk stuff. It was funny when you work in the help desk because for any of your listeners, it's just like the first call, like, it's funny. They call and they go, hi, is the internet broke? And you're like, no. The internet Our global transaction, which society runs on, is not broke. All right, like that would be a major story. And they're like, okay, well, it's not working for me. And it's like, well, have you thought about the possibility that your computer isn't working? You know, so like they would always, that was my job, where these people would call in, they would say the internet was broke, and I would help them. And I was like brand new to computers. And my boss would play this FM station, 98.5 in Cleveland, Ohio, WXRK, and it had this classic lunch breakfast that you would listen to, and it was all 70s and 80s music. And he had, like, it was this like old school FM guy, and they played The Clash, Rock the Casbah. And the song ends, and he comes out and goes, whoa, that's The Clash, their only number one hit. And you can see why. The rest of their music, pretty iffy, if you ask me.
Wow.
And I've always been into punk. I lose it. Like, I just can't settle down. I lose it. Like, I can't believe this guy just said this about The Clash. And this DJ kept saying, and by the way, you can email us your requests at our website, WAKR, whatever it was, .com. And I had already become pretty good at computers. And I realized that back then there was this, I don't know what you want to call it. Today you would call it a bug, where if you sent a really big file over email, it would create this lock on their end if they were using a program called Eudora, which I knew they, like I was 90% that's what they were using. And if you grew impatient and you stopped the download, you would basically get in this infinite loop where you would, your whole website would crash. And I'm like, I'm 90% sure that's what they're running. I'm going to crash their website because they said this.
On behalf of The Clash. So funny.
So I take the London Calling. I take that as a CD. I burn it into an MP3. I have the software for it. This is like 1998. It's about a 70 meg file, which I know is big enough to like create this. I send it to them. The subject is, listen to this, assholes. I don't know what happens. But I hear them get back on the air because also, by the way, the company I work for is their web provider. So technically, they're one of our customers. And I hear the guy just go, well, gonna need you to dial in those email requests. Turns out we're down 100%. So I did crash their website.
Hell yeah. That's what they get.
Yeah, I mean, that is ridiculous. Holy to shit. Say The Clash sucks.
Also, it's like the other song, Should I Stay or Should I Go Now? Like, you're going to say that's not good at all.
They're all bad. Like, I love rock. I actually don't love Rock the Casbah, but it's a good song. But to imply their other songs are,
it's, yeah, we just brought up Lost in the Supermarket on here the other week. That's probably my all-time favorite.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah, I wasn't born so much as I fell out. Like, what a line. Yeah. You know, yeah.
I love that story so much. I just talking about requests, it's like that when I was in high school, we used to drunkenly request songs, and when they actually played them, it was like, that's the greatest feeling in the world.
Oh my god,
requesting a song and having the radio play it, you feel like a god. You're just like, also, did this.
What it's, you have to be discerning on what songs you pick too, because like it could be, you know, 5,000 people requested that song. Like,
yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it was me. But I never did it.
I mean, I don't know how.
Sean, did you do that? Did you request?
Yeah. So I didn't really request too many songs. But what was funny is, like, I'm older than you guys. And back in the day, what people would do is they would request a song and they would have their tape drive set up to record that song was actually played. And then they would record off that. Yeah.
I remember doing that where I would record. I wouldn't do the request. I was always like, man, who are these people calling into the radio? They have nuts of steel.
Oh, yeah.
I was so anxious about calling in. And they're like, you want to hear fucking Britney Spears, you little weirdo?
I have the distinct memory of being in high school right when Taylor Swift's first album came out, calling into the country station in Chicago, US 99.5, asking them to play like a deep track that they wouldn't have played. It was called Mary's Song, parentheses, Oh My My My. And I was hammered. I was going to go, you know Mary's Song, My My My? And the guy was like, what? And then I kept saying it. And then like 20 minutes later, he's like, and we're going to play a track off the album.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And we all celebrated like our team had won the Super Bowl.
That you know, is yeah, like, that is true.
It was so cool.
It did awesome. Feel like that back in the day, moment. It felt like you were controlling the citywide dialogue if you actually got a request. Yeah.
I think we've talked about this show. There was a show on VH1 where you could I think you had to do it online, but I can't remember. But it was like I couldn't just listen to the song Stan from Eminem. I had to like wait and hope people voted for it to get played. And I would wait like for an hour and pray that like every other song was that. And it was like, oh yeah, they're only going to play it once an hour. This is fake probably anyways. But I remember being like, oh, this is like, God, I hope this gets played this hour. I hope enough people have the heart to vote for Stan. there was a beauty of not having control over what you're listening to, but God, it also fucking sucked sometimes. Like thinking about not being able to hear your song, you had to wait around for 45 minutes. These kids these days, they don't get it.
I do kind of miss radio edits, though, because they used to make me laugh. like, just like the way they bleep things out. Like, when they would do, like, mm-hmm. the one where it was, like, where they kind of like, they don't just bleep it, they kind of, like, remix it. You know?
Yeah.
like,
the, oh, yeah. You
know, it's like, and I oh, stuck yeah. it in her.
yeah, it's like, what do you think? The one that I always think of is the Shaggy, It Wasn't Me. Instead of saying, caught me fucking in the shower. He say, caught me loving in the shower. Loving is almost worse.
Or, like, the other thing I love is, like, when they do, like, if you ever, like, AM sports radio is a level beyond FM radio in terms of how stupid it is.
Yeah.
And, like, their commercials where they try and tie it into the local team where they'll be like, hey, Bill, how you doing? And be like, well, I'm sure worried about my prostate cancer. And he goes, well, the University Hospital's prostate defense is as good as the Bears defense, you know, and like you're just like, what? You know, like
also it's like that's not good.
Yeah. Just like all those terrestrial radio like commercials are hilariously bad about how they yeah. They try to crowbar it into being hyper local, but it doesn't make any sense, mm-hmm. you know?
I got pissed off listening to the radio recently because I heard the classic, the all time radio ad that everyone knows, the Cars for Kids jingle.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, they said they have an addendum now.
Okay, what's the addendum?
We also accept houses or land. I'm like, no, motherfuckers. It's cars for kids. Cars. It's a simple it's equation. Land. We all learned it.
It's not land for else. Ladies or houses no for shit. Horses.
I do like that. Yeah, none of this other shit. It's cars yeah, for kids.
Start a new thing.
We you do our
your
part,
own
you
thing. Oh, man. I don't totally understand what cars for kids. That's one of those that... I don't think those kids should have cars.
Yeah, it was funny because they'd be like, it doesn't matter if the brakes don't work, if it doesn't start, we'll send it to kids. And you're like, well, why do kids want to drive this?
The tailpipe? You know? Yeah, these kids are they're bad drivers. I'll say it. All right, let's talk. We should. Get to some of these messages we have from the listeners about FM radio, because we do have a few here. If you're on the Patreon, you get your thoughts guaranteed to be read, and we got a couple on there. The first one is from Matthew Potter, who said, the lady that drank a gallon of water then died for a Nintendo Wii lives rent-free in my brain. Really. Whoa, against the early
pitch. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, like those FM radio morning shows used to be really weird. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was my favorite thing about riding the bus to school every morning, because we didn't have this does make us all sound like old as hell, but it's like, we didn't have our goddamn iPods and iPad. No, like, I had a Walkman, but, like, most of the time I would just listen to the radio on the bus, and for a while I had a driver that would not, like, because most bus drivers in Indiana, I think, would listen to the country stations, but for, like, I had a three-year block where I had a driver who would listen to 93.1, which is the more, like, younger people, you might hear rap on it, or, like, Nelly or something, as opposed to just the basic, like, pop station 96.7, B97, that would play just pop top 40, basically. And I would love to listen to the little games they would play where they'd have somebody call in and they could win, like, $30. It was never, like, any amount of money that actually... But they'd, like, play... It was they played like a version of Deal or No Deal on our radio, our local radio. It was probably the most boring fucking show in the in all reality, because it's just somebody like picking something and not. There's no. I don't even think there was trivia. I think it was legitimately just like pick left or right, pick a number between 1 and 100, and like if they got it, it was like they moved up a ladder. But like the, I think the most you could win was 30. It was 93.1, so I think the most you could win was like $31.
Yeah, it was.
It fucking sucked, but I loved it.
I think that lady that died off water was trying to get like an Xbox, if I remember the story straight.
Yeah, they said a Wii or something like that. Yeah,
and I think it was actually in Indiana. And I remember like she died, and just like the FM radio station was like, we didn't think people could OD from water. Like we don't have lawyers. We don't have physicists. We don't have. We don't know. You know.
I gotta look this up.
Yeah, I think it was a contest to see who could drink the most water. It was like I can't remember when it happened, but it was like over 10 years ago, and I think it was to get like an Xbox or a PlayStation, and just they didn't know you could OD from water, you know. And she died from water.
Sacramento.
It was a Sacramento. Okay,
Sacramento. Okay, yeah. I found the story here. Yeah, it was to win a Wii.
Yeah.
A Nintendo Wii. And it was called Hold Your Wii for a Wii.
Ah,
oh, this is the problem.
Most radio promotion drank, thing in the world.
She drank 1.5 gallons of water, and then I guess she wasn't allowed to. By the time she left the station, she might as well have been drunk. A doctor testified. Yeah, Jesus Christ. So don't do that, people at home.
Don't just drink 1.5 gallons of water for no reason.
Yeah, we will not be having any more people drink 1.5 gallons of piss and seeing to win a
Wii. It's funny you say that.
It's a good, though I do feel like FM radio stations across the land would do something like that, where they'd be like, okay, well, we're going to see who can go the longest without showering. And then somebody would die. So, and like, okay, well, it turns out bacteria grows. and they just don't know anything.
Up. Yeah. The craziest radio promotions of all time. And there was a place in Vegas, 92.3 FM in Vegas. DJ Greg McFarlane had the idea to have listeners drink ounces of piss.
Oh, really?
So three contestants actually came to the studio prepared to face the challenge, but then got cold feet when they realized he was not kidding. Then a fourth guy walks in, pushes everyone out of the way, and, quote, threw it down like it was Pepsi.
Oh, my God. Wait, does it say what it was to win?
It was for Motley Crue tickets.
That's insane.
And then the DJ got fired.
That is – what a crazy
That's
way
awesome.
To get fired.
That's awesome.
Yeah, of course you're going to get fired for that, you fucking idiot. That's so funny.
I love that guy just coming in. I'm here.
Like, I do understand the desperation of trying to fill time on radio. Because like when we were on the Sirius show, they were always like, hey, come up with something. And I did come up with the idea of like, send in your dicks and we'll judge them or something. I don't know. And they were like, we definitely cannot do that. And I was like, I thought Stern was on this network. I don't know. But it's Tommy, you said it's funny you should say that after I tried to say a joke. I just think that'd be a funny thing to say at a comedy show.
It's after funny you say that.
After every joke, you go, "It's funny you say that." Just leave it there.
I want to rattle off the other things on here really quick. Just the craziest radio promotions. There was an England radio station that would cover the cost of your wedding if you agreed to walk down the aisle naked. Apparently they did. There was a Canadian one that they called the Win a Baby competition, where you would get in vitro treatments, but they called it Win a Baby, so they got in trouble for that. There was one where they paid for your funeral, which is very sad.
Oh my god. I want to know. Wait, there's one where they paid for your funeral.
Like, yeah, let me see.
What did you have to do to get your funeral paid for? I need some deets on that one.
They put the fun in funeral.
You'll never guess which country this was in. It was in Germany, which is very funny. The listeners sent in their own epitaphs, and that money was to be spent on death insurance. So that's how they did it.
That's a pretty good one, actually. Because that's pretty harmless if you just send in your epitaph. I thought it was like weirdest way to like that you die.
There's one to win breast implants. There's one where if you tattooed your penis, they would get you a car. Another German one.
Can you even do that? I've actually searched this before because I have a bit about somebody tattooing their balls. But I guess you can, but it seems...
I've heard that the tattoo places don't actually want to do it because the skin in that area regenerates so much that it would never actually be permanent.
Right. Is that the only reason they don't want to do it?
I'm sure there's many reasons, but I like. Yeah. It's sort of like your fingers, your balls. There's certain areas of our skin, our body, that just regenerate so often that a tattoo can actually be permanent. So, like,
really?
A tattoo parlor that actually sort of respects what they do will be like, no, we're not going to do it there because it won't be permanent.
See, this gives me an idea. This is, if you're somebody who's like, I don't know if I want a tattoo, get it on your dick so that you have it. It's like
temporary. You can see if you like it, right?
It's a temporary tattoo. And you can see if you're like, oh, I actually love this drawing of my mother and father
on my dick.
Yeah, move to the big show. You get it put on your back or something, a real spot.
That's this something I feel weird. You have to be married, because otherwise you're explaining that day one when you meet a new woman.
I don't think you run in the same type of circles as me and Tommy, Sean.
Or you just always make love with the lights off, you know. But I feel like, you know.
The last one was multiple radio stations have done a win a mail order bride type thing.
That's insane.
Which is wild.
That's great.
That is so insane.
And the kicker of this one was one of them in New Zealand, they got so criticized for saying that you could win a wife in this promotion that they changed the name to win a trip to beautiful Ukraine for 12 nights and meet an Eastern European lady who you maybe will marry.
That's great. Yeah. God.
What a great wild western world we lived in so recently. God, to live to be born 20 years earlier. It's like that is insane. It's so good that they were just like, this is totally cool and there's nothing wrong with this. And everybody was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I really want to hear those I want to hear the radio footage. We do have another comment on the Patreon here, and Tommy, I'm gonna let's play this game. Let's see if you can guess what Nick C wrote.
Okay.
For you, the prompt was, we're talking about FM radio today. What do you think that Nick C wrote on your behalf?
My guess is going to be Nadio.
No, but you're obviously on the right track. I guessed part of this before I opened the message, but I didn't get all of it. It says, Tommy won't shut up about Phillies and Mayors radio.
Phillies with an F?
Yeah, with an F. So it's a bit of a... I didn't guess Phillies because I thought that it was a PH.
Yeah.
But that is, that's good stuff, Nixon. Thank you for sending it in. And we should go to the Facebook as well. We have a friend of the show, Starla, Jennifer writes, she doesn't like when I call her Jennifer. Starla writes, bro, I worked in FM radio. Let's do this. I'll forever defend it against the it's dying. It's a dying media people. Sure. But it's so cool and how so many of us found our favorite bands. I wish y'all had a call in line akin to radio so I could tell all my stories. But working in alt rock radio, I've heard my fill of Breaking Benjamin, Chevelle, and Disturbed for a lifetime.
Oh, three. Chevelle! Oh my god!
Yeah, that's yeah. The call-in nature of radio is truly a beautiful. That is one thing I love about listening to sports radio right now is listening to
the call-in. It's great because they always have the most over the top. Local accents. Like, if you listen to Chicago sports radio, they sound more than the super fans. Like, okay, gonna hang up and listen to my answer. It's just amazing how over the top all of them are. Yeah. I honestly believe if women listened to sports media, they would separate from us as a society. how stupid sports media is. Like, even just the commercial. Like, I listen to sports media, and it's hilarious. Like, the commercials. Like, every commercial is such a guy. Like, okay, guys, don't make a rookie mistake. Come to Dick's, okay? You know, you order an appetizer. You opening kickoff. Good, you know, and it's just so, it's all so stupid, you know?
No, I was listening to one of the basketball games that was on this weekend on the radio because we were driving somewhere far and I was, whatever. But you hear the ads for the other shows are on, and you're like, these are all the same fucking show, just a different guy.
Yeah.
And we were listening, and they all, like... All of them want to talk. They don't want to talk about sports. They want to talk about. It's kind of like this show. I don't want to talk about music. I like talking about the horses fucking. But we were listening, and there's this full minute and a half ad for another show, another sports talk show, where they're arguing about whether or not you would eat trash macaroni and cheese. Where it's like, what if the macaroni
they
and cheese?
Love
is
talking
like
about food. They love talking about like, food, man, on sports media.
If it's cheese and it's pasta, I'm eating. Yeah. Bro, you're crazy. It's just that for a minute and a half. Listen to Mike and Tony talk about sports in the morning. Where? Like, when did they talk about sports? That's the ad. They pulled that and made it their ad. Yeah. It made me so mad.
Well, Sean, you brought up in our message something that they do in Chicago, I think on Weddle and Sylvie, where they do song parodies for sports.
Oh, yeah.
Holiday, like you do Christmas songs.
To get you ready for the playoffs.
So bad.
Yeah, Cleveland was the best. Yeah. They felt like they were getting the city ready for a playoff drive. And they would do these sports parody songs. And I remember, like, the Browns were good in the 80s. I'm from Cleveland. And they would do these hilarious sports parody songs where instead of Louie Louie with Bernie Kosar, it would be Bernie Bernie. But they...
I got it queued up.
Oh, you're going to play it? Yeah, because it's hilarious. Because they would only rewrite two words. Like, they...
Yeah. Yeah, it's the easiest parody of all time. I'm sure they thought they were geniuses. All right, here's a little taste for you. All right, I'm going to stop with it. That's perfect.
Oh, they're all, like, those songs are so
hilarious. Super Bowl.
The next year, which was even better, we had a better team. I think that was in 87. Bernie was the MVP of the AFC. In 88, we have an even better team, but he gets, like, knocked out. Then our second string quarterback gets knocked out. And we had to sign a waiver wire guy called Don Strock. And the FM radio team... did a parody for Rock Around the Clock, which I cannot find on the internet, called Rock Around Strock. And it would just go rock, rock, rock around Strock, rock, rock, rock around Strock. And then it would randomly just say Super Bowl. And it was the funniest song I've ever heard, and how lazy it was, you know?
Look, as a guy who made a parody song of Linger for the
I forgot about your parody.
I have to commend these guys. It's much harder than it looks. It took me 4 hours on a day that I had no time. It was the most stressful day of my fucking life, and I wasted many hours of it making a Sam Ellinger parody song. So these guys are doing the real work, and I respect them for it.
My main thing about sports radio is that I think it's so much better than sports podcasting, because sports podcasting is so analytics driven now, and it's, everything is so smart, and you just want to hear a dumbass.
Yes, I love that.
That guy's a head case, you know.
Yeah,
that's what you
hear. Yeah. You want to hear somebody just kind of echoing what you already thought, and
like the most base thought.
And it's also weird when you hear the analytics stuff where they're like, "Wins don't matter." And you're like, what? You know, it doesn't matter that your team isn't good. I've looked at the stats, and they're above replacement levels, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's some baseball shit that I can't. Any like overly statistical baseball shit, I'm just like, I just want to watch the game and have a beer, dude.
No, but that's totally true. And that's what's kind of fun about sports media. It's, now, sports media is almost over the top with that. But, yeah, like I totally agree with Tommy where, like, the podcasts are way too analytical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can listen to that shit with basketball, but any deeper into baseball, I'm like, I have no interest in this. You sent us one last thing that I think we should talk about here. Besides, we talked about that. The guy in Cleveland you had who would kick off the weekend –
and oh, I Murray Saul. Yeah. Like, so he was Murray actually Saul. Before my time. But what I liked about FM radio is every radio station in Cleveland had this like countdown that would begin at 5 p.m. Friday. And they all felt like, we are your official countdown of the weekend. And your weekend doesn't start until you listen to us. And they would all have these weird sort of rituals that would go in. The big one in Cleveland was WMMS 107, and their head of sales, who was just this fucking maniac, coked up alcoholic, would go on a diatribe that would be hilarious.
Mm-hmm. This guy, Murray Saul, he's like a poet. It's great. He just fucking goes, dude. I'm gonna play it right now. I'll just play a little bit of this.
The beginning of a new era this weekend. We're winning just a little bit at a time, but we're winning. That slave driver drove us crazy this week. He pulled us, yanked us, and dragged us. It was like being in the middle of a tug of war. We were pulled from one side and then the other. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. They don't know us. They don't understand us. They don't relate to us. They don't live the life we live yet. We are their children. Well, we sure know when to party. Starting on Friday. 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 This week, the slave driver brought out his pool table, and we played the game of eight ball. The only difference was that his balls were round and our balls were square. But we banked our shots and he scratched on the eight ball.
Jesus and we Christ. Won every.
That guy's incredible. That is a beautiful thing. I love the pool table thing. It's just fucking nonsense.
Our balls were square.
Our balls were square. We banked them, and he scratched on the eight ball. So it wasn't a big deal that your balls were a different type? Also, that he calls him the slave driver, I don't think it would.
Don't really love that. Be so yeah. Oh my lord!
Yeah, that is really fun, and hey, spoiler alert for the listeners: it's not Friday right now, but goddamn, it does feel like Friday after he does all that.
It doesn't. It's a great motivational. You know what? I'm done working. That is a good. Done working speech, and that is one good thing FM radio was good at. It was like, you know what, boys, we're done working.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's nothing better than like. Riding home on the bus on a Friday and the afternoon radio being hyped about it being Friday. And it wasn't like they're all like, oh, now you can go and party or whatever. I was like, hell yeah. Now I can go eat more candy late at night and watch Saturday Night Live.
I think that's the thing that we lack in this modern age between not having an FM radio and having these work from home schedules. Is we don't have that like Fred Flintstone factory whistle that announces the weekend anymore, which is such a great sound. You know what I mean? When I'm my employer isn't aware of me for 2 days. That's a great sound, but we don't have that today.
I am a goblin for a nice little 2 days. Yeah, I know. Man, that was sick. And it is like, there's benefits, of course, to doing comedy where it's like now you have more free time sometimes in the day, but you still end up working a ton. But like, there's no weekend. Mm-hmm. Like the weekend is your job. Like everybody else is like, hell yeah, we get to party now, and you're like, I gotta fucking do shows at night and travel and shit. And there's no like feeling ever of like. Bing, bing. Like yeah, the Fred Flintstone. Like I was trying to do the steam. What the hell is it? What happens in Flintstones when the
like the Brontosaurus or whatever? Yeah,
yeah. Gotta bring dinosaurs back, man. I'm fucked up.
It's funny you say that.
We have a few more comments to get here on the Facebook, and then I think we should wrap this bad boy up. The next one I have here is from Gary E. Boss. He says, there's one from Pittsburgh called Bobo's Shack that I found randomly. It's pretty chill, and I don't know who does it. I like the sound of that. Robert Cochran says, rock radio can suck my sick. I think he meant dick. But I do
there's
love
no way to know.
But I do love some local jazz stations. No, man, that's not what we're talking about, Robert. We're talking about exactly what you are saying can suck your very dick.
It's sick.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're sick.
Can suck my...
Screech? Can suck my lovin'. Ethan Giannini says, I used to discuss favorite radio stations with Uber drivers. They loved it. I was like, didn't know you were a 92.3 guy. Antonia does that all the time. When we get in the Uber, she'll like ask people about their radio stations because LAist is one of the stations out here. That Ben Eastman says, you know, you went to a cool college when their radio station was on the FM dial. That's a good point, dude. Bloomington, that's the one that for a long time I was a 92.3 guy because it played more of like old alt, some indie stuff like. You might hear Wilco on there or something, but you weren't going to hear anything too crazy. But if you went to the college station, you could hear like nowadays it would probably be like Japanese breakfast or something. Mm-hmm. That was the spot, dude.
I had a college radio show for a little while, and I just checked because I didn't remember, and we were 88.1 FM in Worcester, Massachusetts.
So nice.
Look at that.
So yeah, Tommy. And I would just kind of go on these rants about the slave drivers at the school.
I could see you being a hype man for
anti-capitalism. Bring it all down.
No, in reality, I was just playing like sad indie songs. And
all right, last one I'll read here is from Quan Wiggity Whack. He says, CBC Radio, Canadian Public Radio, there's a show called The Debaters, recorded with a live audience where two comedians debate random things like plates versus bowls or donuts versus muffins. There are lots of comedy shows, but that one is the silliest. That sounds like a good time. I gotta listen to some Canadian public radio. I will say I used to like be excited if I was up early enough to hear Bob and Tom, and then I would like the local. I mean, it wasn't syndicated, but it was recorded in Indianapolis, and I would have friends who would be on the show, or like whatever comedian was in town. I could usually hear them if I got up early enough, and that was a good time. There's fun stuff to those silly rock jocks.
I mean, I do like that. Don't like, which I don't know if that's what the previous commenter was going towards, is I kind of hate NPR doing comedy, though, because I hate that NPR voice they all use where it's like and it always starts with the shade of the tree they're in. They're like, I'm in the shade of a sycamore tree. And I'm like they're always in a shade of some tree. And I hate that voice is winning over on podcast. Like, that's one of the things I love about your guys' podcast. You guys speak naturally. And have you noticed that this NPR voice is slowly winning on podcasts yeah. now? You know, even in – like, I hear these ads on Spotify. They're like, we're like, I'm Jonathan Whitmore, and I do the podcast Heavyweight. And today I have a guest who thinks he broke his wrist in 1982. But his sister disagrees. Yeah, and if you find that interesting, tune in. Why the fuck would I ever listen to that? You know,
that episode is really good. I know what you're talking about. That's the Rob Corddry, episode. It's so good. That is so funny. That is one of the few. I actually love that podcast, but I know exactly what
but
you're
that
talking
voice,
about.
But that voice, like why would so I ever funny. Listen to you? Like, yeah.
I know what you mean. I don't. Most of the podcasts I don't that I listen to don't have that. I only listen to the Hooters live from Hooters.
I like that. All right, that sounds like a terrestrial radio. I do miss that about like we're here live 95 the Blitz at the Hooters. You know.
He says, "I'm under the shade of some 34 double D's."
All right, this has been a great fucking time. That's a good note to end on. I think I gotta get out of here, Sean. This was so fucking fun. Let's hear those plugs one more time.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me again. Love you both. I do the Blackout Diaries podcast, which you can catch online. I also have a book out called Places I Can't Return To, which you can find anywhere online. That's me.
Love it. We love you, brother. Thanks so much for coming on. Check out Sean's shit. I am going on the road. Like I said, this weekend I'll be at CG's Comedy Club. That's in Illinois. So if you live near the Chicagoland area, come see a show. And then I will be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. I believe that's next month in June. I got to buy those plane tickets. The Grand in Escondido. I got Dallas Comedy Club coming up. Bunch of fun dates. End of the year, just announced Vermont Comedy Club. Hey. New Year's Eve. That's going to be very fun. D.C. is going to be a big one. That's going to be one night, November 5th. I would love to see some D.C. people out there. That's a D.C. improv. They're going to be one night. So come out to a show. Tommy, what do you got?
Just follow me on social media. I started posting a couple stand-up clips. I finally succumbed. Check me out, Tommy MCNAM on Instagram, and follow me there where I post all my shows and stuff.
Love to see it. Tommy, you're a good man. Don't listen to, all the comments on your new videos. All right. Thanks again, Sean. Guys, get on the Patreon.
Buddy.
We'll see you next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.